from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. MotoGP Indonesia promotes Mandalika as sports destination. Floating airports have potential to draw tourists to Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir said on Friday that MotoGP Indonesia 2024 in September can promote the Mandalika Special Economic Zone as a world-class sports destination. The race will be held at the Mandalika International Circuit located in the Special Economic Zone in West Nusa Tenggara on September the 27th and 28th. Minister Thohir expressed confidence about the holding of the third edition of the MotoGP race, offering maximum economic benefits to locals and branding the zone as the ultimate lifestyle and sports destination. During the launch of MotoGP Indonesia 2024 in Jakarta, he recalled doubts voiced by some parties about the Mandalika circuit's potential during its early days. The Transportation Ministry stated that floating airports, in addition to being an alternative transportation choice, can also attract foreign tourists to visit Indonesia. The operation of floating airports for seaplanes in archipelagic countries such as Indonesia can not only improve connectivity but can also be a new opportunity for regions in Indonesia in attracting tourists. Head of the Ministry's Transportation Policy Agency, Robby Kurniawan, pointed this out as reported by Antara on Friday. According to him, floating airports hold high potential for the country as they can provide connectivity between provinces and cities. In addition, it can connect travelers from hub airports to water-based tourist destinations as serve as a pioneer transportation mode for island and archipelagic areas, especially in the frontier, outermost, and disadvantaged regions. The Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry voiced support for efforts to increase the involvement of youth, including Generation Z, in various aspects of social forestry, including developing products resulting from sustainable forest use. During a discussion followed online from Jakarta on Friday, Director General of Social Forestry and Environmental Partnership at the Ministry, Mahfuz, invited the younger generation to get involved in social forestry schemes covering community, village, plantation, and customary forest, also forestry partnerships. According to him, young people can play a role in helping develop institutions at the local level. Coordinator of the President's Advisor, Ari Dwi Payana, said that a Kompas R&D survey showing an increase in satisfaction with the Joko Widodo administration is proof of public appreciation for the government performance. As per the Compass R&D survey, the level of public satisfaction with the Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin administration increased from 73.59% in December 2023 to 75.6% in June 2024. Saudi Arabia said the need for a safe and reliable cyberspace that can help enable growth and prosperity is more urgent than ever. So it urged all nations to prioritize efforts to strengthen cybersecurity. As reported by ArabNews.com today, Abdul Aziz Al-Wasl, the kingdom's permanent representative to the United Nations, said it was time for the international community to adopt a serious and practical approach in collaboration with the UN to unifying international efforts to combat threats. According to him, this is particularly important given the role of cybersecurity plays in protecting the vital interests of countries and national securities. These comments came on Thursday during the UN Security Council debate about evolving cyberspace threat under the heading Maintenance of International Peace and Security. Vladimir Putin has warned South Korea it would be making a big mistake if it arms Ukraine in the war against Russia. As reported by BBC.com, his comments come after Seoul said it was considering such a possibility. In response to Russia and North Korea's new pact to help each other in the event of aggression against either country. According to Putin, Moscow will make decisions which are unlikely to please the current leadership of South Korea if Seoul decides to supply arms to Kyiv. The Russian leader was speaking in Vietnam shortly after a lavish visit to Pyongyang, where he signed a mutual defense agreement with North Korea leader Kim Jong-un. He also warned that Moscow is willing to arm Pyongyang if the United States and its allies continue supplying Ukraine with weapons. Vietnam's foreign ministry spokesperson Pham Thu Hang said on Friday that Vietnam is keeping a close watch on and is deeply concerned on learning on the recent ship collision between China and the Philippines near the second Thomas Shoal. As reported by vovworld.vn, responding to a reporter's query on Vietnam's reaction to the June 17 incident, Hang said Vietnam calls on its side to exercise maximum restraint, behave in line with international law, respect sovereign rights and jurisdiction over every coastal country's inclusive economic zone and continental shelf as defined in accordance with the 1982 United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Aceh Jaya Regency, Aceh Province. The Aceh Jaya Regency government preserves the traditional semelung or presenting special meal for important guests, which has been carried out since hundreds of years ago in Lamno Jaya District. Head of the Aceh Jaya Regency Education and Culture Service, Ash'ari, in Aceh Jaya Wednesday said that the semelung tradition is held every year along with the Idul Adha celebration. According to him, this year it was conducted by inviting descendants of kings from Aceh and also from outside Aceh. This traditional celebration has been going on since 1418 AD. Ash'ari said the regional government would continue to preserve the semelung tradition as evidence of past history in Aceh Jaya Regency. The next news comes from Samarinda, East Kalimantan. The East Kalimantan Provincial Government is preparing an international cultural festival called the East Borneo International Folklore Festival in Samarinda City. Regional Secretary of East Kalimantan Province, Sri Wahyuni, in Samarinda Wednesday explained that the activity is scheduled for July the 26th until 30th, attended by participants from 8 countries, namely Bulgaria, Egypt, Japan, South Korea, Poland, the United States, India, and Russia. Meanwhile, the head of the East Kalimantan Tourism Office, Ririn Sari Dewi, said that the activities would be held in several locations for staging folk art performances from various countries. Apart from that, some other activities will also be held, like dance and music performances, traditional sports competitions, culinary arts, literature, as well as planting tree seedling and others. The latest news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. The city of Makassar has once again made a special achievement because it is the only city in Indonesia that has been determined to be in the category one of the happiest cities in the world based on the Happy City Index. Mayor of Makassar, Muhammad Ramdan, in Makassar on Wednesday said that based on the Happy City Index, Makassar is ranked 234th out of 250 cities throughout the world as the happiest city. He also expressed his gratitude because Makassar has received three categories internationally. Firstly, city index at 157th position in the world. Secondly, smart city index at 115th position in the world. And third is the happiest index, which is included as one of 250 cities in the world out of 10,000 which are considered the happiest cities. According to the mayor of Makassar, Muhammad Ramdan, this predicate also confirms the survey that the happiest city index that happiness index of Makassar City reached 82.9%. The happiest city index is calculated based on several indicators such as city government, economy, environment, and mobility. That was news from across Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event of June 22, 1945, when Jakarta Charter officially drafted. Jakarta Charter was ratified on June 22, 1945. Jakarta Charter is the draft preamble of the 1945 Constitution drafted by the Committee of Nine. Jakarta Charter contains a combination of opinions between the nationalist and Islamic groups discussed in the session of the Investigation Board for preparatory efforts for Indonesian independence. Then a Committee of Nine was formed with Sukarno as chairman in charge of drafting the basis of the state. The name of the Jakarta Charter was given by Muhammad Yamin. In addition to the Pancasila State Foundation, Jakarta Charter also emphasizes that independence is the right of every nation. Therefore, colonialism in the world must be abolished because it's not in accordance with humanity and justice. Let's move to another event of June 22, 1946, when the name of Jakarta was used again. As quoted by jakarta.go.id on June 22, 1950, the mayor of Jakarta at that time reaffirmed the name Jakarta. In its history, Jakarta, which was founded on June 22, 1527, has changed its name several times. On June 22, 1527, the name Jayakarta was used to replace Sunda Kelapa. During the Dutch colonial period, the names given were Stad Batavia, Gemeente Batavia, Stad Gemeente Batavia. While during the Japanese colonial period, the name given was Jakarta Tokubetsushi. Before June 22, 1946, I mean 1956, Jakarta was called the National Government of Jakarta City and Praja Jakarta. We end today in history with the event in 1986 when Maradona scored Hand of God goal. Soccer lovers will know the Hand of God goal by Argentine soccer legend Diego Maradona. The goal took place at Estadio Azteca, Mexico City on June 22, 1986. At first, Maradona processed the round skin past five British players and then passed until the ball bounced up. Afterwards, Maradona immediately welcomed the ball using his hand into the England goal. At that time, the referee from Tunisia who led the match authorized the goal because it's not clearly visible. The players from England also protested. After 9 years, Maradona admitted that the ball was touched by his hand. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Santai, santai. kupikirkan hati yang berguncang dan coba tuh tenang, lupakanlah kenangan. Gerakanlah tubuhmu, ikuti irama dan lagu, dan resapin nada di dalam hatimu. Kau kan temukan sebuah jawaban, hidup pun tenang bila kau temani. Happy, happy, happy ajalah, nyanyi selalala, cuek-cuek ajalah, urus syalala. Happy ajalah, bernyanyi syalalala, cuek-cuek ajalah, oh syalalala. Ajalah bernyanyi syalalalala, cuek-cuek ajalah, oh syalalala. Happy, happy-happy ajalah, bernyanyi syalalalala, cuek-cuek ajalah, oh syalalala. Happy, happy-happy ajalah, bernyanyi syalalalala, cuek-cuek ajalah.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia to be the center for the world halal industry. The Indonesian Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, together with Bank Syariah Indonesia BSI, are holding the BSI International Expo 2024 at the Jakarta Convention Center from June the 20th until 23rd. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, when delivering his speech at the opening ceremony, said Indonesia, through the 2024 International Expo, could strengthen networks and collaboration between business actors in various regions. According to him, it could become the main driver in improving the quality and competitiveness of Indonesian halal products. BSI International Expo is a strategic agenda to demonstrate various innovations and developments in the national and global halal industrial sector. Quoting bumn.go.id, Deputy Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Kartika Wiryoatmojo said the ministry, together with Bank Syariah Indonesia BSI, are committed to continuing to encourage Indonesia to build capacity and capability to become a major player and producer in the global halal value chain. Kartika Wiryoatmojo added, by taking the advantages as the second largest Muslim population in the world, Indonesia can become the center of the world's halal industry. In its third year, BSI showed impressive performance. One of them entered the ranks of the top 10 global Islamic banks in terms of market capitalization. In terms of financial performance, Kartika Wiryoatmojo said, in 2023, BSI is the only Sharia bank in the top 5 banks in Indonesia. In the same thing, BSI is also the largest zakat contributor in Indonesia. And she continued, in terms of expansion, BSI opened an operational branch in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and is currently in the process of opening a branch in Saudi Arabia to continue developing the potential of the Islamic ecosystem, especially from the Hajj and Umrah business. Kartika Wiryoatmojo said that BSI International Expo 2024 is a concrete manifestation of the total support of Sharia banks for the development of the Islamic ecosystem, especially the halal industry in Indonesia. BSI International Expo 2024 is planned to be held regularly every year and will be an event to bring together halal business people with international buyers through business matching, which will be held specifically during the exhibition. That was my Indonesia Today.
Terlalu indah dilupakan, terlalu sedih dikenangkan. Setelah aku jauh berjalan dan kau ku tinggalkan, betapa hatiku bersedih mengenang kasih dan sayangmu. Setulus pesanku kepadaku, engkau kan menunggu. Andaikan kau datang kembali, jawaban apa yang kan ku beri? Adakah cara yang kau temui untuk kita kembali lagi? Betapa hatiku bersedih mengenang kasih dan sayangmu. Setulus pesanmu kepadaku, engkau kan menunggu. Oh, andaikan kau datang kembali, jawaban apa yang kan ku beri? Adakah cara yang kau temui untuk kita kembali lagi? Bersinarlah bulan purnama, seindah serta tulus cinta yang bersinar. Bersinarlah terus sampai nanti, lagu ini ku akhiri. Adakah cara yang kau temui untuk kita kembali lagi? Bersinarlah bulan purnama, seindah serta tulus cintanya. Bersinarlah terus sampai nanti, lagu ini ku akhiri.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, Pekalongan, which is located in Central Java Province, is famous for not only its batik cloth, but also its beautiful natural attraction. One of the favorite destinations that must be visited is Telaga Mangunan, which is located in Telogo Hendro, Petung Kriyono Village, Pekalongan District, Central Java. The area, which is often referred to as Telaga Sigebiar Mangunan, is 47 kilometers from downtown of Pekalongan and is on the north coast of Java. Listener, Telaga Sigebiar Mangunan, which is covered with 10 hectares of land, is actually one of the northern slopes of Dieng Plateau. The water in the lake comes from the Kendeng Mountains, that is why the water is still clear and fresh when it hits the skin. On this plain, you can also find ornamental plants typical of this area, namely Carica. In this destination, it is guaranteed that you will feel at home for a long time because of the cool atmosphere and fresh air. Especially if the fog is falling, then the atmosphere can turn even more exotic. The graduation of greenish color covered with fog becomes a beautiful panorama. When the fog descends, it ceases. It is most delicious to look at natural panorama around while eating local snacks. Tempe Mendoan can be your choice to fill an empty stomach. Of course, visitors can also sip coffee or tea from local merchants. The price of the snack sold is relatively standard, and there are many variants. Listener, the Telaga Mangunan Tourism Spot is open every day from 7 a.m. to 17 p.m. local time. The best time to visit is in the morning and the evening. The visitors at Telaga Mangunan are also quite adequate because they have completed the needs of visitors, such as a large parking area, public toilets, places of worship, gazebos, exotic game ride, food stall, Instagrammable spots, and a camping area. In addition to enjoying the beautiful natural scenery, visitors can also take pictures because this Telaga Mangunan tourist spot has a number of interesting photo spots. Listener, in addition to taking photos, visitors can rent a recreational boat to play in the middle of the lake. If you want to experience an even more exciting nature tour, you can camp on the edge of the lake while waiting for nightfall. It will definitely feel more exciting and fun because you will feel the night is quiet and not noise, truly one with nature. Listener, if you want a vacation by enjoying the beauty of nature, Telaga Mangunan located in Pekalongan can be your alternative. Listener, that's Indonesia Wonder today. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Andai melayang jauh berteman langit lepas. Terkadang kita lupa dunia ini tak akan selamanya menunggu kita menaklukkan ragu beranikan diri kan ku kejar mimpi kan ku terbang tinggi.
Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's miscellany informs you about Indonesian fashion designer Merdi Sihombing with the support of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology and Gajah Mada University Innovation and Creativity Center successfully exhibited the typical Batak Ulos cloth at the 2024 Indigenous Fashion Art Festival in Toronto, Canada on May 30 to June 2, 2024. The event held at Toronto's iconic CF Toronto Eaton Center is a tribute to Indigenous artists and designers from around the world. At this event, Merdi's work collaborated with traditional artists from all over the world. Merdi's designs feature a variety of patterns and symbolism found in ulos, from geometric shapes representing natural elements to stylized figures depicting legendary heroes. Merdi Sihombing on Saturday, June 15, as quoted from kontan.co.id, interpreted his ulos cloth works as products that not only decorate the body, but also lift the soul and connect the soul with cultural heritage of the ancestors. Ulos Sitoluhuta uses natural dyes derived from local plants and minerals. The result is an earthy color palette. Merdi's collection evokes the bright colors of the landscape, such as deep indigo, deep red, and warm brown blend perfectly with intricate weaves, creating a harmonious visual symphony. Listener, the Director General of Culture at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Hilmar Farid, expressed his appreciation that the traditional touches and natural materials, which are the characteristics of Merdi's work, are a commitment to preserving culture and empowering local craftsmen. According to him, Merdi's dedication to sustainable fashion is in line with Indonesia's efforts in environmental conservation and cultural diplomacy. This proves that lifestyle and social responsibility can go hand in hand. Merdi's success at the Indigenous Fashion Art Festival Toronto 2024 proves the power of Indonesian fashion in celebrating cultural identity, empowering communities, while connecting tradition and modernity. Well, listener, that's Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia.
Semakin deras.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present the keroncong song entitled Keroncong Jakarta by Benyamin Sueb. It is not known exactly who the first composer of the song Keroncong Kemayoran was. The song was popularized by Betawi or native Jakarta artist legend Benyamin Sueb. The song tells the reality of Jakarta City in the past, which was crowded with people from all over Indonesian regions, who deliberately come to try their luck in the capital. In this Keroncong Kemayoran song, the message is to always be happy. Sometimes a person experiences difficult things or hit by misfortune, but there will always be a way. Well, listener, here is Benyamin Sueb with the song Keroncong Jakarta.
Sampai berjubel-jubel Jakarta rada senggangan cuman bulan puasa orang-orang pada pulang ke kampung dan ke desa. Jakarta makin padat sampai berjubel-jubel. Jakarta habis lebaran, Jakarta ngejomplang lagi. Orang-orang berdatangan, Jakarta padat lagi.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
So